This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So I want to tell you a little story. And it's hard for me because I can't believe how many years ago this was. But we were living in Northern Virginia, in Alexandria, Virginia, and I was a student at seminary. And our kids, I guess at the time, let's see, my oldest was in fifth grade, and the youngest was in first grade. First, going into second. But what I remember is we had to drive them to school every day. Now, if you've ever driven, it's so funny when we come onto Gregory Street and has these signs that say, congested area ahead. I still laugh because we actually lived in a very congested area up there in Washington, D.C. And so there were two ways we could get to school. We could go up 395 heading towards Washington, D.C., and some days it would take 5 minutes, and some days it could take an hour and 5 minutes. Or we could go through town, and it would take 20 minutes. So after a while, we finally learned, and it was 20 minutes. But it was a nice ride. So what we would do is we had our little minivan, and we'd have the two kids in the back, and my husband would drive, and I would be in the front, and we'd drive the kids to school, and then we'd drive over to the seminary, and he would go to work at the seminary's welcome center, and I would go to class. And I remember one morning as we were in the car and we're driving, and I remember there was a lot of anxiety in the back seat. And my oldest daughter was freaking out because she had just realized that she had not completed the homework assignment that was due today, that was due that day. And she was really worried about it. And so, of course, anxiety spreads, as you may know. And so then the younger one, I mean, you know, she's in the first grade, started worrying that, oh my goodness, I think I forgot to do my coloring sheet, right? So there was all this anxiety in the back seat, and it rose. And my oldest daughter was like, I don't know what to do. You know, I forgot my assignment. I'm going to get a zero. And I remember, you know, I'm a seminary student, right? So I thought, I'm going to practice this thing we call grace. And I remember telling, I was like, you know what? You're in the fifth grade. This missing this one assignment is not the end of the world. So just tell your teacher that you forgot. See if there's something that they can do to help you out. Maybe you'll have an opportunity to finish today. But in the grand scheme of your life, this is not the biggest of issues. Right? And of course, the younger one overheard. And I felt like, you know, wow, Mom, you're just like really rocking it. You know, did a good job here. And they all got out of the car and everyone went on their way. Well, it was about a month later that I realized she took that little talk to heart and decided that none of her work was worth stressing over, that it was all just one passing fancy in her grand scheme of life. So we had to revisit that talk. But it's funny, isn't it, how we hear something, we hear a message, and yet we still don't get it, right? That's where we encounter James and John today. Now, it's interesting because it's intentional that I'm comparing where James and John are approaching Jesus with a fifth grader. Because I think it's true. I think often as we are trying so hard to learn our way of following Jesus, what it is that Jesus is trying to teach us and how we live in the world, no matter how long we've been trying, we fall into the elementary, right? We're still trying to figure it out. And now here today we encounter James and John. They've been disciples with Jesus. There are 12. So they've been with Jesus. In the Gospel of Mark, everything is kind of condensed, right? So we don't really know how long, where we're at in that journey together. But they know Jesus and they approach Jesus. And in the past, Jesus has said, look, whatever you ask of me, I will give you. Now, there must have been some sort of conversation that happened. James and John are two brothers, right? The sons of Zebedee. They were fishermen. Their father, a great fisherman. There must have been some conversation like, you know, I think we should ask Jesus this really important thing. And they decided to do it. And they did it with so much pride that this was a totally acceptable thing to ask. Now, the challenge is, it is a totally acceptable thing to ask. In their culture, at that time, in understanding what a king would be, and understanding what a Messiah would be, who Jesus has claimed to be. They have chosen to follow him. They believe that one day he will reign as king. And in their culture at that time, this is how they understood it, that there would be someone that the king would appoint to sit at their right and to sit at their left. And that those people would essentially be, the bearers with the king. They would be the king's support system, that they would be the king's protectors. But they obviously didn't get it. And it's interesting because Jesus looks at them and he goes, "You do not understand what you are asking." And they said, "But Lord, you said we could ask anything." And Jesus says, "No, what you don't understand, those who have stations of prestige are not what we're after. To sit at the right and the left of a king would be stations of prestige." And while they had all of the faith there was that Jesus was going to be that king that they had waited for so long, Jesus has been telling them again and again, it's not going to look like what you think. And yet they still come to Jesus in front of the others with all of the faith that they have, that you will be king, that we will be in your kingdom. God's kingdom will reign once again. And they said, "And we want to be there with you." And Jesus says, "You still don't get it." In God's kingdom, the greatest will serve. In God's kingdom, there are no stations of prestige. The last will be first, and the first will be last. Now, he said this again and again, and yet elementary. They're still not quite getting it. But it's interesting because where it offers us hope, I believe, is that we can enter into this relationship with Jesus as those who are young and still trying to figure out life. We can enter into this relationship with Jesus, and one week we can get it, and one week we might hear something and not get it for a while. And Jesus looks at him, I imagine, probably with a bit of sadness because he's like, "Oh my God, you still don't get it." And looks at them and says, "You do not understand what you are asking." And of course they do, like, "Oh, we totally get what we're asking for." And Jesus says, "It's not going to look like what you think. The last will be first. You, my friends, are to choose to serve, not to choose as my disciples to sit in lofty positions." Now, the story, I think, is also helpful because as we hear the other disciples, the other 10, right, they get grumbly. They're kind of ticked off. Now, the interesting thing is I don't get the impression that they're angry because James and John didn't get it. I think they're angry because, like, well, who do they think they are to ask to be God's favorites, right? To ask to be Jesus's favorites. And again, I feel like it reflects on us and our navigating the complexity of growing in Christ, because even in the physical presence of Jesus himself, Jesus standing right there, the person they've been following and loving, that even in the physical presence of Jesus himself, they are still feeling jealousy and they are still feeling angry and they still want to be the first and they're frustrated with their brothers and they feel like nobody's getting it, but that they don't really get it either. Now, in a way, this might all seem sort of a lost cause. Well, if the disciples couldn't get it, then how can we? But that's the point. The point is, we are disciples. And we continue on this journey to learn and to grow. And sometimes we get it right, and sometimes we don't. And Jesus looks at us when we don't and says, "You're just not understanding what I'm trying to say." But he doesn't tell them to go away. He gathers them together and he says, "Let me explain it again. Those who want to follow me will be servants of all. The last will be first. Those who want to live in God's kingdom will seek to serve others, not be those who lord power over them. Right? He uses this example of those who have authority to lord power over them. He said, if you want to be a servant of God, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, you will serve those and lift up others, not lord power over others. So I imagine as Jesus left this conversation that day, they were all probably shaking their heads, still mad. Maybe somebody smacked John and James on the top of the head, like, you idiots. But it's interesting because we hear again and again in the Holy Scriptures, and that's what makes the Holy Scriptures so alive and speak to us today, again and again, this journey of God's people with God. And we encounter that in our Old Testament reading from Job. See, last week we heard about Job. Job is a man, he has been through all sorts of trials in his life. We are told that he was a righteous man with integrity and faith in God, and that he's even challenged, that the adversary will throw all sorts of obstacles in his way. And God says, but you know what? Job will still worship. Job will still pray. Job will still believe. And so we encounter this period here with Job. Job and his friends have been lamenting and complaining and talking. We don't know it for several chapters about why this is happening. Why God? Why me? Why now? What did I do? His friends are saying, what did you do? And God, I imagine, is listening. And then now we hear God finally speaks. And like Jesus, it's interesting, like Jesus in the New Testament reading when he's talking to James and John, I hear the same sort of voice from God. God's like, you don't get it. Right? I hear what you're saying, Job, and I know you're going through a hard time, but you don't get it. And then he challenges Job. He said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowing? In other words, Job, you don't know what you're talking about. Just as Jesus told James and John, you don't know what you're talking about. He says, be a man, gird up your loins. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? God asked Job. Do you understand? He said, who determined its measurements, its perfection in creation? God is asking Job. Surely you must know if you know all the ways of the world. I mean, this is a challenge that God is offering to Job. Have you taken your line and measured? How did it decide to become earth and water? Where did those divisions begin? Did you decide those, Job? When the morning stars sing together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy at beautiful creation, Job, were you there when that happened? We were not there. So God says, hold on, Job, I understand, but you do not have the big picture. Jesus is telling James and John, I understand where you're coming from, I do, as irritating as it is, but you're missing the big picture. And the grand scheme of life, forgetting your homework, is a part of the picture, but it's not the big picture. And God is calling us again and again and again to the big picture. This does not mean that our lives are not significant. And it doesn't mean that sometimes we won't get it. But when we read this reading from the Hebrews, and we'll talk about it, as I mentioned, after the when we have our adult forum. But the Hebrews, the people that this letter was written to, many of them understood the Jewish culture. Many of them were Jewish converts to following Jesus Christ. Many of them were Gentiles, like you and I, who've chosen to follow Jesus Christ. But they were bridge people. Right? They were bridge people from the old way of understanding God to this new way that Jesus brought into the world and the disciples brought into the world. They were bridge people. We are bridge people. We are still trying to marry this understanding of God and this truth that Jesus tells us about God. And sometimes we don't get it right. Sometimes we're stuck on the bridge ourselves. But our lives do matter. In the grand scheme of God's plan, they do matter. Our falls from grace matter. But there is grace. Because God's plan is much bigger than ours alone. And God has been working, my friends, a very long time to bring about this kingdom. And so when we, unlike my daughter who decided, well, the none of the work mattered, we don't decide that, okay, well, it doesn't matter at all. We have to put it in perspective. Because as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called, as disciples, we are called to live our life in a way where each day we make one step closer to bringing about God's kingdom here on earth. Where each day we move one step closer to being servants of all and not lording over people. Where each day we make choices that lead us to live a closer life with Jesus. In many ways, we are offered the grace to not fully understand. Right? Jesus doesn't throw his disciples out because they didn't get it. We're offered the grace to not fully understand. Yet all God wants is for us to continue to seek to understand. To continue to be curious. You see, in God's kingdom, true greatness, he reminds his disciples, is not found in status or power. It is found in serving others. And those are simple choices that we can make every day. So as Jesus leaves the disciples with that, it is in serving others, the question that we are all left with today too. Who are we called to serve today? Who is God calling us in our life to be a servant to today? Where is God calling us to heal today so that we might serve others? Where is God calling us to be okay with our shortcomings today so that they don't get in the way of serving others? Who are we called to serve today? Amen.